from the NCHC.TV studios. This is College Hockey West Live. College Hockey West Live is brought to you by Jesse Ray's Barbecue. For lunch or before the game, the best in barbecue, Las Vegas style, at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. By the NCHC and NCHC.TV. Subscribe to NCHC.TV to watch the best in college hockey since 2013. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos, whether it's Las Vegas or any of our other worldwide properties, an iconic vacation awaits you at any of our destinations. The Spaghetti Shack, classic Italian comfort food quickly, with two in Tempe and one in Pine Top. Order online at thespaghettishack.com. Liberty University, play for something more. Faith, education, and hockey at liberty.edu. By FedEx, the official delivery company of Ice Time Hockey West. And by the Caesars Sportsbook app, a proud partner of the NHL. College Hockey West Live from the NCHC.TV studios is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Paul Hornstein.
All right, welcome in, hockey fans, anywhere that you may be joining us this evening on the Podbean app. Scott Strandy with you, fresh off of a sprint from Toyota Arena back to the hotel to prepare for the first of hopefully 14 weeks of School of the Week podcast. I'm looking forward to it. My co-host, as always, out on Long Island, New York, Paul Hornstein, I believe, is ready in the command center. Paul, how are you? How are things? And before we even get into this, condolences to you and your family. Bad news for you guys today and shocking news. So we're thinking about you. I just want everybody to know that right up front that it's been a rough day for you.
Yeah, well, just so people know, because, I mean, you can't tell them that. And my brother passed away last night.
Unexpectedly, by the way, at a very young age.
Well, he's younger than me anyway. He's 50. He was going to be 58 in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's like, man, I'm telling you, life is short, and you just can't take anything for granted. That's 100% for sure.
No, and that's, you know, it's kind of a weird thing because even though he's been with his significant other for about 15 years, that doesn't mean anything in the eyes of the law. I have to make all the quote unquote, everything's got to come through me. So, doing the best I can, and it is what it is. And the only thing I could say is he went into sleep.
So yeah, no pain, hopefully.
Not likely, and it must have happened pretty quickly after he went to sleep too. So, I don't know.
Yeah, you told me the details, and like I said, I just wanted the people out there to know that we're human. And we have human lives and things go on. And you've told me many times over the past 5 or 6 years, Paul, that this podcast picks you up.
It does. It gives me one thing I learned in dealing with the grief over losing my wife is that you had to have something that you liked or loved to give you something to focus on in a positive manner. And that's what this does. And there are many times where we wondered how the hell we were going to get to the next day. You know, it is on several occasions the thing that kept me focused and you know, the two things that got me through the last 6 years, my kids and this. So,
Well, there's no easy way to transition, and certainly
no. And nothing I, it's is, all good.
Yeah, well, I get it. We're starting off something new, something I think that'll keep you very motivated for the next 14 weeks, and that being the 14 teams that we now have in our coverage area after adding four more, basically Bemidji State, St. Cloud State, Minnesota State, and St. Thomas. I thought, you know what? It'd be really good to dig into each school for a week. And I say a week, two podcasts, basically, Sunday and Tuesday. And I thought, let's try to bring on an administrator and a coach. And for week one, that's happening because in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Jason Coomer, the vice president of intercollegiate athletics for Lindenwood University. We're going to talk about their program and now starting year three. And their new head coach, Bill Muckle, will join us on Tuesday night.
Right.
So hopefully this is off to a flying start. And everybody that that is a fan of not only Lindenwood, but other teams can jump on board and enjoy the ride with us. Because I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We have so many questions and we're looking forward to so many answers. And
yeah,
hopefully that'll happen well.
And just so people know, obviously we are a hockey podcast. But when you talk to the various administrators, we're going to spread that out a little bit. It's not just going to be 100% hockey because it just can't be. Because their job is not 100% hockey.
Yep.
So, you know, will we ask a lot of hockey-related questions? Well, yeah, we will, especially with specific people. But, you know, they're just so people are prepared. There will be some non-hockey stuff when we talk to the administrators, because again, like, you know, Lindenwood's got 20 teams.
Yep. They certainly do.
And they're, you know, and they just moved into a new league in several different respects, you know, not just in terms of combining with Atlantic Hockey for the women's program with College Hockey America, but you know, their whole, most of their athletic department spent their first, this is their first year in a conference, you know, moving up to Division One. So, I mean, these are the things that we're going to get into, and I just want people to be prepared for it because I don't want to know, why are you guys not talking hockey?
Well, we'll have plenty of time to talk hockey, I'm sure.
Well, we will. I just want people to be prepared.
Yep, I get it. So anyway, so people know, I just came from Toyota Arena in Ontario, California, where the AHL is playing, and people go, "Oh, I didn't know you covered AHL." Well, you know what? What's the progression? Easy for me to say. What's the progression normally, Paul, for college hockey players that are pretty talented? They move up to the professional ranks, and usually their first stop is the American Hockey League. So I'm seeing guys like Taylor Ward, like Luke Rowe, like Jack Millar. You go down the list of guys. So it's always exciting for me, especially this time of year when the college season is quote-unquote over.
Yeah,
but yet some of these guys are continuing to play and advance in their career. So anyway, that's where I came from. We're going to have, as I said, the vice president of intercollegiate athletics joining us shortly. So when that happens, when I get the phone call, I will go on mute. That'll be your signal to give me about a minute.
Well,
to connect with Jason and bring him on board.
And again, you know, like Jimmy Schultz got an assist on the overtime goal in Calgary tonight.
Yep, St. Cloud State.
To beat Dustin Wolf. the fact that Wolf, who had a .968 save percentage, gave up four goals tonight almost seems bizarre.
Yeah, and three of them came in the third period,
in overtime. By the way, make sure somebody checks on Steven.
He just checked on me, 2-1 Dallas, he says.
Well, that's what I mean. Somebody check on Steven to make sure that we keep him away from the sharp objects.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, that's Vegas and Dallas going on in the NHL playoffs. And,
right.
I said this, somebody tweeted it out. I think it might have been Ken Bolke from Simden that tweeted it out, and I had to comment. He said, Jamie Benn and Pavelski are the wingers for Wyatt Johnston. And I said, that is a brilliant move on Pete DeBoer's part. And I believe I've got Coach calling, or the vice president calling me. So I'll put on break for a minute and come right back.
All right. Well, just so people know, Team USA did lose the gold medal game to Canada tonight, or this morning, or whenever the heck the time zones are there in Finland, 6-4. It happens. It's the only loss for Team USA in the tournament. I'm sure it was a typical U.S.-Canada game. The biggest thing we know is that, the James Higgins has done nothing to discourage the notion that he'll be the 2025 number one pick. Cole Hudson was named the player of the game today, but and you got people wondering about him, and of course comparing him to his brothers, but that's what happens. Congratulations to Team Canada for winning that game. Nobody likes to lose, but it is what it is. And we are right around the corner from another international tournament, the World Championship. So, there's more hockey going on than just
all right, Paul,
here.
Paul, I think I've got the Vice President of Intercollegiate Athletics on board with us.
Well, he's hoping.
Jason Coomer joining us from, I think, St. Louis or somewhere close to, but let's find out. Jason, Scott, and Paul with you. How are you tonight?
Doing great, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, no I told you, we're kicking off School of the Week, and Lindenwood University seems to be a great place to start because you made some big news. Before we get into that, though, with your new coach, your new hire, tell us a little bit about the first 2 years of NCAA hockey for Lindenwood University, where you were at, what you saw, the vision, and why you thought it was time that you needed to go a different direction at the head coaching position.
You know, guys, I'm going to apologize. That it cut out on me there, so I did not catch the question. If you could repeat that.
Yeah, I think my signal is bad here. Hold on a second.
It's not the signal.
Let me do this, Jason. Let me call you right back on another line because I think my phone signal here in the hotel is pretty weak. So I'll call you right back on another number. It's a 951 number. You'll get me in just a second.
Sounds good.
So that means that, okay, I guess I'll have to ramble on again. Not that that's unusual. I think we're done with the portal, at least in terms of people going into the portal. Or maybe not. I sit corrected. Because former ASU player Teddy Lagerback, who was at Miami, just went into the portal today. Hugh Larkin, a senior forward from Western Michigan, who played basically every game, has gone into the portal now. So there's tons and tons of players in the portal still.
All right, Paul, I've got Jason on a better line. Let's bring him on right now. So once again, folks, let's start this over from the top. It's school of the week, and Lindenwood University is where we're kicking things off. I've got the Vice President of Intercollegiate Athletics with us, Jason Coomer, Jason Scott, and Paul. How are you?
No, doing great, guys. I appreciate you having me back on.
Okay, are you in St. Louis right now, or where are you at? Because it is a little bit of off season, right, or not quite yet for you?
Well, I don't know if there's a such thing as an off season. We are in St. Charles. We're located 10 minutes from the St. Louis airport. So we're just across the river, and it's nice being that close to everything.
All right. I want to get into the big news because a lot of people have heard about your new head coach and all of that stuff. But I want you to catch us up to date, if you can, Jason, on the first 2 years of NCAA Division I hockey at Lindenwood and what you saw, what direction that you're headed, and why you thought it was time to make a change at the head coaching position, and we'll get into all that.
Yeah, you know, I remind people all the time. They say, well, Lindenwood, you know, the men's hockey program is a second-year Division I program, and that's just not true. You know, the reality of it is, you know, 2 years ago, we were competing as an ACHA team. So to say we're a second-year Division I team, no, that's not accurate. We're actually a second-year NCAA team. And in these first 2 years, I think what you've seen is, you know, that commitment from the institution that we're in this. And, you know, we do have expectations to elevate this program and compete on the national level. And I've said before, you know, I have zero interest in being mediocre. You know, and I think that's the mindset, you know, as far as our department all the way up to our president, who's a, you know, a huge supporter of the program. So, you know, this first 2 years, you've seen us, you know, the wins and losses, you know, we'd love to have a few more wins, but the reality of it is that, you know, we're building something special. And, you know, we put a scare into some people, and I'm never going to be the type of guy that really talks about moral victories. You know, I don't get excited about that. You know, I want W's. But, you know, who would have thought, you know, year one, when we were at Denver, and 2 minutes to go in the third period, and we're tied up. Or this year at Ohio State, where we tied with Ohio State. Wisconsin, who was number three in the country at the time, third, we, you know, we're in control in the third period, and that ended up in a tie, just as, you know, Arizona State did. Now, Arizona State, I know you cover them as well, but you know, once we got, you know, their five guys out of the box and our five guys out of the box, you know, it was a pretty fun game. So it was, you know, definitely things are moving in the right direction. Talk about facilities. You know, we play in a facility where we just hosted an NCAA regional. So, you know, that's great for recruiting that we checked that box. From a scholarship standpoint, we've elevated that already. And then from an operational standpoint, you know, we go everywhere. And, you know, there's nowhere we won't go to play. So we're excited. You know, we think we have a lot of things in place here, and we're going to keep building it and keep adding to it.
Well, I know Paul said when we're going to talk, we have to talk with an administrator. We got to talk more than hockey. So tell us a little bit about your hats that you're wearing and what you're getting done right now at Lindenwood University, because every time I look, that school is doing something good on the athletic side of things.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's a very robust operation. And, you know, you talk about the offseason. Well, you know, today the offseason really didn't exist. We had baseball at home. We had softball on the road. We're getting ready to go into the postseason with our spring sports. You know, women's lacrosse just wrapped up here as well. And in between all that, we just hosted our largest fundraiser of the year. It raised a couple $100,000 in a few hours. So there's more than enough to keep us busy. And, you know, I'm fortunate to have such a great, you know, staff. You know, we've had Division I level staff members here well before I got here. And, you know, I think that's why you're seeing a lot of the fast track, if you will, of things that's going on here. Because we have such a great infrastructure, great staff, great facilities. So, you know, flying under the radar, you know, really isn't an option at this point. We're winning, and we're winning early in a lot of our sports. But yeah, it's, you know, we just had graduation this past weekend. So it's kind of strange to see, you know, it'd be strange tomorrow with, you know, the kids being gone. But I'll tell you one thing, it's a great day to find a parking spot. So we have no issues from that standpoint. So, but yeah, you're right. We got a lot going on. You're seeing us in the headlines a lot. You know, obviously with the recent announcements we've had with men's hockey and getting Bill here on board. I think he just got back from Naples, maybe this yesterday or today. And, you know, I got back last week. So we're all over the place.
Well, let me ask you, because I'm not sure that people understand. It's also not just a transition from the Division One to the Division One level. It's also a conference level, because this is the first year you guys have been in the Ohio Valley Conference. How's that gone?
You know, it's great. You know, we actually were in the OVC in our first year of reclassification, which was great. You know, I've gone through this process one other time, and we didn't have that luxury to have a conference home in the first year. But, you know, I'm very familiar with the OVC. I've been in the OVC since 2008. So very familiar with all the all the other athletic directors and administrators, and the commissioner for a number of years. So that transition into that league was pretty seamless, knowing what to expect and how to elevate our programs sooner rather than later. You know, when you're a part of a league and you have some history, like I've had with that league, you know where there's some opportunities, and you know where not to, quote unquote, step in it. And you can be strategic about where you put your resources because you know where the opportunities are to elevate a little bit quicker and fast track. So, but overall, we're really pleased. It's been great, and we look forward to building that, here in the next couple of years.
Jason, I don't know if you know this or if people know this, but I've been around Lindenwood now for a few years from your ACHA level. And during the ACHA tournament and the regional, I stayed in St. Charles, and I had a chance to actually go around your campus a little bit and refresh everything again. And, for people that don't know, tell them about that campus, because I'm always just stunned by it with the old style, the brick buildings, and yet there's integrated new buildings, and it's just really a neat atmosphere.
Yeah, it is. You know, the university was founded in 1832 and actually started out as a women's college. And when you come on campus, you can see that clear delineation between what we call the historical part of campus and what you see in this more modern. But one of the things when you come to campus, you find that university leadership throughout the years, decades of leadership, have been very, very intentional about making sure that the campus feels like one campus, and you don't really see in the architecture the new buildings versus old buildings. When you drive on campus, for the first time, many people are very surprised. They're shocked about what they see. All these big brick buildings, and they match one another, and everything is so well kept up. You don't see trash on campus. The strategic plan when all these buildings were put in place, it was very thoughtfully done. And you see our athletic facilities. One of the big reasons I took this position was, the infrastructure was so good. The facilities were great. And you'll find a lot of the athletic facilities right in the middle of campus, which is great for our students because they can walk right out of the residence halls and be in a game in 3 minutes. Something else that's actually pretty unique about Lindenwood that I've not had before is if you go right on the edge of campus, the university over the years has been intentional about real estate and, portfolios. We actually own about 200 homes that are right on the edge of campus that are part of our university housing. So, and 66% of those homes are made up of student athletes. So, you don't have to go downtown. You don't have to go 20 minutes away to find a house with your teammates and things like that if you're an upperclassman. We actually have those on campus as well. So from a recruiting standpoint, when we bring a kid to campus, we don't lose very many. I think they are very surprised to see what we have.
Well, I'm going to follow that up real quickly if I can, because I the word that came to mind when I saw Lindenwood for the first time was community. And every time I go back, it seems like a small community. And I think you just hit on that point. But one of the things that I see when I drive in, I can't remember what road that is, but when you drive into the campus, and you know what I'm talking about, there's a big brick wall that has Home of the Lions NCAA. You guys are serious.
Yeah, no question. When you come into St. Charles, we want you to know this is a Division I program. And this is your Division I program for those individuals who live in that community. We're in your backyard. And when you look at it, in St. Louis, in St. Charles, we are the only Division I institution that has men's women's basketball, football, and men's women's hockey. You look at Missouri, the state of Missouri, you look at the state of Illinois, nobody has Division I men's hockey. And our women's program, they've been Division I for a number of years now. But when the men elevated, college hockey in St. Louis is Lindenwood. And we brought Division I men's hockey back to this market for the first time in over 40 years when St. Louis University had it. So we're pretty proud of that. It's a hockey town, as you well know. And with, you know, with Bill coming in and some of the things he's going to be doing in the community, this thing is ripe for really growing and growing quickly.
Okay. It got brought up, so now I have to do this. Okay. And we understand that you might not be able to answer the question, but we have to ask. Now that Atlantic Hockey and College Hockey America have officially kind of merged and your women's program is part of that, where does the conference thing stand with the men's team? And while we know it's very early in the history of the program, where would you say on the stepladder or on a scale of 1 to 10, are we a year away, 2 years away, you know, whatever. I know there are some things with the NCAA and the whole moratorium and all that other nonsense, but, you know.
Jason, if you just want to smack them, go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine. I've been smacked before. So,
you know what? I didn't come into this evening without expecting this question.
You had to. I mean, there was no way not to.
I was in the airport in Fort Myers last week, flying back from Naples, and some meetings I had down there at the CHA that you all saw. And I thought, you know what? You know, just like a good coach would do their research and their homework and their scout, I did a scout on you all. And when I listened to that, you know, it was brought up that this question could come up on Sunday night. So
I didn't want to surprise you.
It doesn't catch me off guard. You know, what I'll tell you is, you know, with conference alignment, you know, we have zero interest in living as an independent. Yeah, that's no way to live. We don't want to be an independent. We understand going into this process early on that, you know, we had to put some things in place and really prove ourselves that, you know, maybe not just from a wins-loss perspective, but when it comes to running the Division I hockey program, we were committed to doing that. So without question, I mean, you can look at our schedule, where we've gone, some of the things we've been able to do in a short period of time. If you don't see that we're committed to it, then you're looking at the wrong things. And with the recent hire we just made, I hope people take note of that as well, that we're not in here just to be status quo, to go day to day. We're looking to elevate quickly. Now, to your question about the AHA and the CHA, yes, our women are in the CHA, have a great relationship with our commissioner, and I've got good relationships with a number of ADs on both sides of that aisle until mm-hmm. last week, which is now not two sides of the aisle, we're one,
right.
You know, with that merger. So, we continuously watch everything on this landscape. Do I have conversations with multiple people in multiple leagues? The answer is yes. Have we had serious conversations with, you know, the new AHA and how that goes? We have not. Am I familiar with a lot of the landscape and a lot of the players that may also be looking out there? I am. And we all talk. But as far as Lindenwood, you know, we want to find the league is the right. We have two more years in this reclassification until we actually could do anything at the AQ anyway. And I'm not being naive. I know it's very hard. It's a challenge, you know, to get through the regular season and get to your conference tournament and win that thing. But even if we did, say we got, you know, we joined the league now, we got hot at the right time, we won a lot of games in the postseason, win the conference championship, we couldn't go anywhere anyway. So from that standpoint, I think they afford us the opportunity to, you know, watch the landscape, watch the environment, and make sure that we're doing our due diligence to make the right choice. But going back to the beginning, what I said, if we find the right opportunity, I don't care if it's tomorrow, 3 weeks or 3 months or 2 years, we're going to jump on it. You know, we're not going to sit and wait when the right thing is right there in front of us.
Okay. Well, that matters. Because it, you know, it lets people know that you do kind of have a time frame. In terms of the transition, I was not aware, at least not consciously, that was part of the landscape. But in a way, that does kind of buy you more time. So,
in theory, it does. You know, I mean, you know, for the reasons I stated. But again. I get a call next week, or I make a call next week and say, hey, let's get together and let's talk about this. We think this makes sense, or vice versa. Someone calls me says, you know, Jason, you know, we want Lindenwood. If it's the right fit, we're going. We're not waiting until we get out of reclassification if we have a good opportunity in front of us. So we're aggressive. You know, we've been aggressive from the beginning with this program. So, like I said, if it's the right fit, it's the right thing for our kids, we're ready to go.
Jason, I want to get to that new coach in just a minute, but I've got one more for you. When you look at where you're at right now, and you've probably seen on social media, I got a firestorm going here a couple of months ago because I was pretty frustrated with the way I don't know if it's the NCAA or whoever, college hockey in general, doesn't seem to be giving full opportunities to independents. You know, every kid that I'm sure you come across and everyone that I come across that goes to play college sport of any kind wants to do one thing. They want to win an NCAA championship. And if you have to be an independent and theoretically go 33-3 or some ridiculous thing just to get into the tournament, is that frustrating? I know that you guys are young into this and things, but how frustrating is it? And do you wish there were some conversations that maybe we could go a different direction and somehow get these guys an opportunity to at least play for that championship opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, we're new to this, but I've been in Division I for over 20 years and, you know, sat on NCAA committees, conference committees, and, you know, hear the conversations about expansion in some sports and, you know, what that means as far as, you know, revenue distribution or, you know, just a lot of different things. So to me, what I would say to your point is real simple. If we're serious about college hockey and growing the sport, there shouldn't be any independence. We need to find a home from everybody. And, you know, I think, you know, Arizona State, they did a tremendous job, you know, keeping things moving and afloat as they were an independent. And they turned out really well in the NCHC, and I'm really happy for them. But if we are really, like I said, serious about growing men's hockey, Division I hockey, there should be a home for everybody. And I firmly believe that. And, you know, I know there's reasons for, you know, why some would push back on that. But for the greater good of the sport, we need to find a way.
Okay, just so you know, Jason, and I take for this conversation, basically, I take ASU out of this because they are a far bigger school than the others. But we are firmly in that camp of people. The college hockey community has to get off its butt and figure out a way to take care of everybody because that's the only way for things to get bigger and for things to grow. So just so you know, we are firmly in that game.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think we're going to get there. I really do. You know, I think there's some things going on behind the scenes right now. And I think everybody's waiting for that first domino to fall, and it's coming. And I think it's going to come sooner than what people anticipate. Now, you don't always believe everything you read on Twitter and on social media, because if you do that, five new leagues in the last year or two, probably. I do think there's some people out there that are watching things very closely, and once they make a move, it's going to send some shockwaves through some things. And it's not going to hurt the sport. I think it's only going to help them. It's really who's got the courage to make the first move. And I tell you one thing, when that domino effect takes place, Lindenwood's going to be ready to go. So
just right, need so, to start. So then that begs this question. The moratorium on single sport conferences was supposed to end last year, if I'm remembering correctly. And they've extended it till next spring. Do you see that will be it and they will finally get rid of that moratorium?
You know, I would rather go to Vegas and put it on red. At least I got a 50-50 chance. I think that's that question. You know, there's a lot of things I can't answer.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
I have an answer. but nobody's called me and asked me for my opinion yet on it. So,
well, here you go.
I'll leave it at that.
Okay, so the big news broke, and you guys were in a search for a coach, and we were hearing all kinds of names, and then all of a sudden, when things got closer, tell us about Bill Muckall. How did it all come about, and why was he the right guy at the right time for Lindenwood University in men's Division I ice hockey?
Yeah, no, we couldn't be happier to have Bill, you know, leading our young men. And, you know, it's funny. You see these names come out online. In all honesty, some of the names that people are putting out there, yeah, I talked to them. I was actively engaged with them. There were some that were put out there, and I'm like, I don't even know this guy. there were some that, you know, were supposedly going to be finalists. I'm like, well, I hope somebody bought them a plane ticket because I haven't. They have a campus. So, you know, as you go through it, you kind of get some chuckles. But there were some people that certainly had an idea of what we were doing, but we kept things pretty close to this. We didn't use a search firm. I ran that out of my office. But what I, with Bill early on, you know, some of the things I was looking for, someone who had been part of sustained success, someone who had been behind a Division I bench and the head coach or assistant, someone who was focused on skill development, because all of our guys, just like everywhere across the country, want to continue to play after college. Obviously, someone who could connect from a recruiting perspective. And I don't have to tell you all that the reputation that Bill has from recruiting, I mean, his network is enormous, but it's enormous because what I learned early on in the process was he's so good with relationships. And when he sits with a player or their family, I mean, he's very, very trustworthy. And he's very honest with them. And he will tell them what they need to hear instead of what they want to hear sometimes. But you just talk to any of the former, you know, former players of his or colleagues or, you know, I won't get into everybody that I call because he doesn't even know some of the people I call. but what I will tell you is that the common themes you hear is great recruiter, great X's and O's, you know, great with relationships. People genuinely like him because he's a genuine individual. So he was on the radar, very high on the radar from the beginning. There were a few others. You know, I won't get into those, but we had to certainly extend our search longer than we anticipated. Because we did our due diligence, and some of the people we were talking to were, you know, playing, you know, in the last, you know, weekend of the championship.
Okay, so you hire Bill Muckall. He comes in. I watched the press conference that you guys did. I thought, first of all, let me pat you guys on the back, both you and Jacob, and your president and everybody. What a fantastic job and what a first-class presentation that was. I wish more teams would do that when they make announcements, because it was really, really well done. So congratulations on that.
But you, thank you.
But you get him on board, and immediately you can see the fire in his eyes. It's like, I don't know how many times he said, Jason, you know, and we're going to have him on Tuesday, thanks to you guys. So we're looking forward to that. But he said, I wish I could play games right now. I mean, that's a hockey coach right there. I'm sure a lot of people say that, but you can see it in his eyes. You can see it in his expressions. He was ready to go, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and what people didn't see before that was, you know, we knew he was our guy for about 10 days prior. You know, it kind of got out there and it leaked a little bit, which was fine. But he was already preparing, you know, and one of the things I noticed about him very early on is he is relentless. When he starts on something, it is nonstop. And, you know, when I talked to, you know, a few of his former colleagues, they said, with Bill, what you're going to get is a relentless, tireless worker. And, you know, what was funny was I was talking to, you know, Mark Abney and Jack Holmes, who are, you know, part of our staff. And about a week into this process, where we already knew he was the guy, we'd offered it, he'd accepted it, I asked the guys, I said, how's it going? And they looked at me and they're like, and this guy's different. This guy is nonstop. I mean, He'll call me at 6 or he'll in the morning, or he'll call me at 10 at night, and we just go, go, go. And he's been going like that for a month, to the point where I was talking to him middle of last week, and I said, Bill, I said, I love your energy, man. I love what you're doing. I said, but sometimes, at some point, you're going to take a breath. You're going to beat yourself down. And he just kind of laughed, and it's one of those deals where, okay, I hear you, but I'm still going to do it this way. And I get that. You know, all the great coaches are wired a little bit differently like that. But no, we couldn't be happier to have him here. He's just, he's already elevating some things that we're doing. The kids are super, super excited. And he's already started building relationships with them as well as their incoming recruits.
All right, Paul, take yourself off mute.
Well, I'm not really on mute. I'm just letting Jason finish his questions, or finish his answers, because not that I would expect. Was there something specific about Bill that separated him? Because anybody in those positions kind of has a certain drive. Was there something specific about, and I throw this in there because it's what I do, the former Islander that separated him from the pack?
You know, I'll tell you what I remembered, you know, because obviously I was doing a lot of homework on him before we even spoke. And then I realized I want to at least have a conversation with this guy. And very preliminary, you know, getting to know each other. And we were on the phone probably for 30, 40 minutes. Two things stood out to me that I really, really liked. One, he had such a command with regard to the conversation and the questions I was asking him. And when I talk about that command, it's almost he was confident. He knew how he wanted to do things to elevate this program. It was just that confidence you could hear in his voice. But the other thing I'll tell you is that you seem like a very, very trustworthy individual. Just like you and I talking, you know, on the side of the street. I mean, it wasn't a difficult conversation. And I think part of that is just who he is. You know, he obviously grew up in Canada, you know, blue collar, had to grind for everything he's ever had. And you know, I won't go back to, you know, all that, but where he came from, had a great family, but by no means did he have things given to him. And when we talked about that, we talked about his background and where I grew up, and we started, you know, having some similarities and things along those lines. And, you know, you can tell he is a grinder. He's going to work hard, very trustworthy individual, just a good, good human being. And, you know, when I hung up that phone after that first call, I'm like, all right, well, there may be something with this guy. And I remember also saying, I hope he can coach. And so, I really like him, because if this thing works out, you know, I really like this guy. So, but you'll have to ask him that question, you know, Tuesday when you talk to him, because I'm sure you know, he'll have some thoughts on, you know, when he knew this was the right fill. You know, I had the first conversation with him and checked all the boxes. Then I had to go figure out if he could actually coach. And that's when I really dug in, was calling everybody I knew. And again, people he didn't even know I was calling.
Well, let me ask one other question, because I've never been in that kind of situation. Was there something, and it could have been more than one thing, but I'm just going to ask for one. Was there one thing where you said, wow, I never thought about that, when it came through whatever, it's 2, 3, 4 interviews before you guys made the final decision?
No, it was interesting to listen to people when they talked about recruiting. And, you know, everybody had a plan, but how realistic was the plan was the question. I never get caught up on the glitz and glamour. You know, I'm more roll your sleeves up, grind it out. And when you find out, you get a roadblock, you got to find a way around it. And, you know, I'm a former coach as well.
Right.
So I've been on both sides of this. I know the recruiting pitch when I get it. I know when I'm being sold. And some of the things that were being brought up with, you know, the kids we're going to go get this year, I didn't know if I necessarily believed that. But with Bill, I mean, he talked about where we're going to be at this year, where we'll be in 2 years, where we're going to be in 4 years. But the thing I really liked about Bill was that he's not looking to win in 2 years, 3 years. He's looking to win now. Now, is it going to be a challenge? Is it be difficult? Absolutely. But we talked about setting a we talked about two things. We talked about culture. And I said, you know, Bill, you only get one opportunity to set the culture. And when you're setting this, the culture, the second piece is you got to set the standard of excellence. Our standard of excellence has to go up. Because if we are ever going to get to the level we expect to get, we may get knocked down a couple of times, but at least we know what we're shooting for. And if that standard of excellence, you know, the old 49ers way, isn't high, then what are we doing here? You know, we might as well just say, okay, we're okay being mediocre. And he and I kind of laughed about that because neither one of us could live that way. So those are kind of things we talked about and things that really separated him because he really hit on all of those points at one point or another during the process.
Okay, let me throw out two little humorous tidbits. First of all, for all the people that have texted me and said, no, Jason and I did not have a conversation of Miko from Lindenwood. That didn't happen.
What did happen
was the Ohio State man had to sit down and make this work with a Michigan man. Are you surviving this already? Is it water over the bridge, or you guys still battle a little bit, or how does this go?
Well, you know, he's the new guy right now, so he's treading lightly around that.
Don't bring it up.
It just tells you how intelligent the guy is. You know, he is a Michigan man, right? But, you know, it's funny. I was talking, again, to one of his former bosses, and I was driving home one night. And we were on the phone maybe 40 minutes, and he was calling on Bill's behalf, and you know, I won't get in. You guys can connect the dots on our former bosses. But one of the last things we talked about, and I said, Coach, I said, I only got one significant concern. And he's like, what's that? And I'm like, well, you've probably done your homework. You know I'm a Buckeye. And he kind of laughed and he goes, well, Jason, Bill's already said the same thing to me. He wants to know if he can actually work with you. And I'm like, you know, that's a great question. I'm trying to figure this one out myself because I want to take a lot of heat from a lot of my friends from back in my grad school days. And when I get on the golf course, I'm going to hear it. And we had a good laugh about it. And we even talked about it at the press conference when we introduced him. And but no, it's, I tell you what, this is just a great example. Who knows? It may be an ESPN commercial like we work. You know, working through our differences and we could come together as one. You know, I think that's been done already. But maybe in November, late November, you know, ESPN will come and have a conversation with us.
Well, listen, if it makes you feel any better, I do kind of understand in a strange way. I, as an ASU guy, with our, you know, with the Cronkite School and all that other, you know, we take a lot of pride in that. One of your local reporters there is a former student of mine who went to Syracuse. And I have to, you know, I try to ignore that when I have the odd conversation with him, Kevin Ryans. Like I said, I try to ignore the whole Syracuse part when I do have the odd chat with him. So I totally get it.
Well, you're in good company with Kevin. You know, I think a lot of him really respect him. And, you know, a little tidbit about him was he and I started within like a week of each other. So I think I may have been his first interview when he took his new position. If not, it was one of the first couple. So he was great to come out and talk. And he's been around the program quite a bit. He was at the press conference, you know, obviously, like you mentioned, when we introduced Bills. But, you know, he's you're in good company for sure.
No, all right, Jason,
two quick ones to end it with you. I talked with Jacob a little bit. I said, when's that schedule coming out? Because now that Bill wants to play games, we all want to know who, when, where, and why. is there anything that you can leak to us that Lindenwood's going to do differently this year, or more exciting home games, or anything like that that you can put out yet, or not quite there?
Well, you know, I'll share one with you. So we're going to be opening up at home with Wisconsin.
Nice.
I love it.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, we'll be opening up there, and then, you know, we had one team, I won't say back out, dropped out on a date with us that we're trying to fill here. I mean, that was, you know,
was a tough game
to lose, an NCHC opponent, but, you know, scheduling-wise, it didn't work out. But I can tell you, like, you know, the first couple of years here, we've been on the road quite a bit, but,
right,
you know, next year, I just think I know two NCHC teams and 25, 26 that are coming to our place, you know, a couple of Big Tens. I just signed an agreement to go to Notre Dame this upcoming year. So we just keep playing anybody, anywhere.
All right, well, so
we're going to do that.
An offshoot question, and this might be a little simpler to answer, even with having to fill this last, are you hitting double digits in home games this year?
We are.
Okay, good, good, good.
Okay, my final one on this one for you is, when you've seen, you talked about how good Bill is at recruiting. We know how good he is at recruiting. When you start to see the list of guys that he's getting to sign on the dotted line, are you impressed yet?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he is, you know, we got some great guys in the locker room.
Yeah,
I don't want to lose sight of that. You know, we've got guys in there that are ready to go, and if they could play a game tomorrow, they would. So we definitely have that in our favor with some of those kids returning. And with some of the new ones that we've had signed, Bill's got committed since he's been here. I mean, you've seen what he's been able to do in a short period of time.
Yeah.
You can also tell he's being very intentional about what he's trying to create. You may see some patterns there, and you guys are smart guys. You can kind of figure that out. But, you know, he wants some, you know, explosive kind of guys. And I'll tell you, the other thing is that he's very, very big on character. We have walked away from some players, as you know, that would have come in here and helped us immediately. But what he will not do is let one face be the, or one player be the face of the program. You're going to treat each other in that locker room or in the community. You're going to treat people with respect, and you're going to do things the right way, both on the ice and off the ice. And he just won't take one player to get a couple more wins. He just won't do it. He's walked away from them. Now, are we going to have to play against him at some point? More than likely. But that just kind of shows you what the character and integrity and how much importance he's placing for the baseline here of setting the culture of the program. So I've been impressed with that. You know, he's been very, very selective in what he's doing. But anybody sees him behind the scenes, I mean, even at the day of the press conference, you saw him out there in a shirt and tie.
Yep.
What you didn't see is 10 minutes earlier, we had to pull him out of his office in his Lindenwood hockey polo because he was on the phone with recruits.
Right.
So he did the Clark Kent, got in the phone booth and did the press conference. And then during the press conference, he sent one of his assistants to the airport because we had kids in the air getting ready to land. So I think he was keeping track on the time of the press conference because he knew how far it was to the airport. And I knew what his priority was. And it wasn't sitting at a podium. He was waiting for those kids to get on campus.
Well, I know that was a crazy day for him because I know he did about a half-hour radio interview afterwards. And like I said, he did a couple of TV interviews after that. I don't know when he had time to meet with the players that came in, but, you know, he obviously figured out a way to get a 25th and 26th hour in a day. So,
it's been impressive watching him work because there's a method. He's executing on that strategy that he has. Are we going to get knocked down? Are we going to miss on a few opportunities? Or, you know, sure, that's the world that we live in from a recruiting standpoint. But I'm telling you, he's in a lot of conversations right now, and it's pretty impressive watching him work.
Jason, thrilled to have you on. Thrilled to have all the excitement at Lindenwood. Thrilled to keep covering you guys because I think, you know, college hockey has to grow, and it certainly has to continue to grow right in the beautiful area of St. Louis. I love it so much. I'm going to be back there a few more times with ACHA national tournaments. And, of course, you guys are hosting an NCAA Frozen Four with the Sports Commission, and we've worked closely with Tim Ryan on that. So thanks for kicking things off with us tonight. Enjoy the rest of the night and have a great week. We'll be in touch soon.
All right, guys. We really appreciate everything you do for the sport and look forward to talking in the future.
All right. Go Lions.
Take care.
All right. That's the Vice President of Intercollegiate Athletics at Lindenwood University, Jason Coomer, joining us. Paul and I are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and digest what you heard on the first show of School of the Week with Lindenwood University.
It's time to drop the puck on the nation's best college hockey conference. We bring you closer to the action all season long with access to exclusive on-demand content and more than 140 live games. Catch every big goal and clutch save. When you can't be there, we have you covered here. Stream on your phone, computer, or straight to your TV, and don't miss a moment from your favorite team. Subscribe now to watch the best in college hockey at NCHC.TV. If it's NCHC hockey, it's on NCHC.TV.
After a hard day at work or a long week, what's better than good comfort food to put you at ease? At the Spaghetti Shack, we say the answer is comfort food that's made by somebody else. The Spaghetti Shack has taken spaghetti and meatballs, the classic Italian comfort food, to a portable level. ASU alumni owned and operated, the Spaghetti Shack has three locations, at 6340 South Rural Road in Tempe, the ASU location at 922 East Apache Road, and 952 West White Mountain Road in Pine Top. For lunch, dinner, or catering as well, call us at 480-687-2485 or order online at thespaghettishack.com.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move!
Jake
Gensel. Banks it towards the goalie, score!
Kale McCarr.
He scores!
Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
My goodness gracious!
CollegeHockeyInc.com and follow at College Hockey.
The St. Louis Sports Commission invites you to become part of the legacy of the Heartland of Hockey as they and the city of St. Louis host 2025 NCAA Frozen Four and ACHA National Championships. From the Stanley Cup to college champions to an exploding youth hockey community, St. Louis hockey has a long storied tradition. Find out how you can be a part of it by visiting us at www.stlsports.org. The St. Louis Sports Commission, making St. Louis a better place to live, visit, work, or play through sports.
From the NCHC.TV studios, you're listening to ITHSW Podcasts, College Hockey West Live.
Indeed it is, College Hockey West Live. Tonight, the first episode, the first show of School of the Week with Lindenwood University, Vice President of Intercollegiate Athletics, Jason Coomer. Scott Strandy with you tonight in Ontario, California. My co-host, as always, joining me from beautiful Long Island, New York, where that big, beautiful palatial estate, and now the command center on Long Island, New York, Paul Hornstein. Paul, I thought it was a great interview, but I'm biased. What do you think?
Well, listen, I love it that people feel comfortable enough to come on here and you know, give us the straight scoop, and you know, answer questions whether they know they're coming or not, as best they can.
He researched you. He knew what was coming.
Well, he told him it was coming. That's fine. I don't deny it.
The open book.
Well, I really am. I mean, it's not. It's not a. It's not a secret. I don't pretend that I'm not an ASU alum. I don't pretend that these are the questions that interest me. You know, I mean, we would not. While we did break a little bit of news tonight,
hold on a bit. Broke a little bit of news? That was big news. Wisconsin is going to travel to Lindenwood to open the season at Lindenwood at Centene Community Ice Center. Come on, St. Louis, get on board with this one. You better pack that place. You're seeing the Wisconsin Badgers with Mike Hastings, a.k.a. Barney Rubble, coming to town.
Well,
come
on. My point is, as you say often, that's not what we do, so to speak. If we get it from somebody, that's great. But, you know, this being a podcast and most people listening, you know, 3 or 4 days usually, I would imagine after we do it, by the time, you know, I'm sure that, you know, that, I mean, so, you know, at least in a 3 to 4 day period after we do it, you know, it makes it not necessarily harder to be quote unquote newsy, but, you know, the fact that people will be as open as they can be with us regularly.
You know. Are you back? Because I didn't hear a word you said for the last 2 minutes. So
seriously?
Yeah, we lost all connection. I could see you blinking, but couldn't hear a word. So
yeah, but was that you not hearing me or?
No, the connection. My connection was bad. It says I've got a little meter on my.
Either way, tablet. Like I said, we don't.
Anyway. Finish it up.
Right. The last thing I said is, like you said, it's not necessarily our mission to break news, but we're happy when it happens.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Don't bring stuff to us on Wednesday morning. Bring it to us Tuesday.
Yeah, that would be nice, but, you know. But it was great having him on. Like I said, we did get the little nugget there. And we got a couple of nuggets, but you know we're only focus on the positive one, and that's Wisconsin coming there to open the season, and they're going to hit double digits in home games.
Well, let me throw out the one that you may be classifying as negative, but I'm going to tell you that they are determined to get a conference. Jason was clear on that. They're determined to find.
That's not what
they
I was talking
have this 2 year window. That isn't going to allow them to play for a championship, this ridiculous reclassification, a lot like what St. Thomas is going through. So I get it.
Right.
But, you know, he said if there was an opportunity tomorrow, they would jump at it. And he understands. I think the biggest thing I took away, Paul, was that he said, we have no interest in living as an independent. This is just a step in the process of being part of a conference.
Well, of course it is. And we know. That and that's why when we talk about this, we kind of have to separate ASU from the other five because of the size of the school, and that allowed ASU to live more solidly as an independent because they had the resources as a big giant school.
Yep.
So.
Okay.
By the way, if you are interested in the press conference that Lindenwood had introducing their new head coach, you can go to their website and they're there.
It'll be up there for a while.
Yeah. So you can go there and watch.
But my recommendation is wait till after Tuesday because once we have Coach Bill Muckelt on Tuesday night. You'll get a lot more insight. And
yeah, because we'll ask him much different questions.
Oh, yeah. Yep. We're already geared up for it. So our thanks to everybody over at Lindenwood for hooking us up with Jason Coomer on a Sunday night. And, of course, in anticipation of Bill Muckel, the new head coach, on Tuesday night. All right, Paul, take it away.
From the NCHC.TV studios, College Hockey West Live on the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network is brought to you by Caesars Entertainment Resorts Casinos Worldwide. It's where the action is, in the resort or in town. Jesse Ray's Barbecue, the best in barbecue Las Vegas style, at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. By the NCHC and NCHC.TV. Subscribe to NCHC.TV and catch all of the action from the toughest conference in college hockey. The Tag Creative Group. Search T. Gray and Red on Redbubble.com and let us help you design that one-of-a-kind gift for you or someone special. College Hockey, Inc., your NCAA hockey resource. Caesars Sportsbook app. Download the app. We're available, but please play responsibly. By FedEx. Simplify your business shipping with FedEx, the official package delivery company of Icetime Hockey West. And by Liberty University, over 700 programs of study to help you impact your community on and off the ice. Strengthen your faith at our state-of-the-art campus and your game. See us at liberty.edu. College Hockey West Live is live every week on the Podbean app and available along with all of our weekly podcasts for download at your favorite podcast platform. Search ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. That's ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. Subscribe, rate, and review the shows, or just tell a friend to help others find the podcast. College Hockey West Live and all of our weekly podcasts are part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network.
Very well done, my friend. And, wow, what a great way to kick it off. We look forward to tomorrow night's show, College Hockey Coast to Coast, and then, of course, on Tuesday, continuing Lindenwood Week as we continue our progression of schools of the week. 14 weeks continuing all the way through the summer, hopefully with an administrator and a coach, with every team that we cover. That's what we do. We'll say a big thank you again to everybody at Lindenwood and, of course, to Jason Coomer for joining us tonight. Paul, our thoughts and prayers are with you as you go through this very difficult time losing your brother today. And you know what?
It is what it is.
It is. It maybe it is what it is, but we're hoping that this will help you in the recovery efforts. So,
well, it always does, and I'm not making that up. I've told you that for a long time now. So,
all right. Thanks for toughing it out, because I know it can't be easy, and we always appreciate you know, you're a hockey player. That's what we call you, a hockey player. You tough it out.
We try. We try.
All right. We'll say goodnight with little Roger Klein, the Peacemakers, De Niro. Good night, everybody.
Good night.